Hello, everybody. It's Jeff. Hello. How's it going? Wanted to let you know that we do have a new intro and a new outro, both by Tony Martin of TH Fantasy and Football Absurdity. He pushes good buttons in GarageBand. Enjoy. Everybody, and welcome back to the Jeff Confirmed Priors podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco. Here's my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. I'm cutting the bullshit. Isaiah Likely. I was right. Mike, how are you?
You were right about it, Isaiah Likely. I'm doing well. I got the beauty of having two monitors is one, you can watch the game on one and do the show on the other. So
podcast on the other.
Ready to go.
Yeah, as we talk right now, it's 1914 Eagles, or sorry, Packers.
Yes.
And we have two Jaden Reed touchdowns, two Saquon Barkley touchdowns. So we'll be reviewing that game on Tuesday. But for now, Walker, how are you?
I'm fine. I mean, I'm really trying to not fall into Jordan Love's going to get away with it all year again.
You can't keep... Because you want to talk about the Jordan Love experience that you were talking about?
Yeah, just a little. Really trying hard.
It's Lions fan chat complaining about the Packers.
Well, it's understandable when you look at it from the fact that he is constantly making stupid decisions that don't hurt him at all.
Yeah, man. It's called being a fan of Brock Purdy. I see the same thing all the time.
Except for with Brock Purdy, he has truly elite weapons. With Jordan Love, he's got one really good guy around him, and then everybody else is mid. And the offensive line's not that good either. So it's like, you know, why he's just got a horseshoe up his ass right now. And eventually it'll stop. I know that, but it's just when.
Who's the really good guy? Emmanuel Wilson. Also, I'm Adam Koffler on Twitter.
It's Emmanuel Wilson for sure.
Yeah, Mike, there's a guy on Twitter who thinks that Emmanuel Wilson is better than Josh Jacobs. He was like, I don't really think that, although...
Here's how I can launder my actual opinion while still maintaining plausible deniability that I don't have that opinion.
Yeah, it was wild. So, alrighty, let's get into the game that happened last night. The Kansas City Chiefs took down the Baltimore Ravens. It was never in doubt, folks. Never in doubt. I start the season 1-0 in the picks. Although if I had lost, I would have lost to my boy Isaiah Likely. So So let's get into it. So let's start with Walker's question about Xavier Worthy. Did Xavier Worthy siphon targets away from Rashee Rice? And my question was what does that mean? And what does a siphoned away target from Rashee Rice look like? And Walker says no.
No, he didn't. I mean, he touched the ball three times.
Hold on. Flag on the play. Illegal formation. Let's try it again.
Oh, sorry about that. Inches upward, 3 inches. So Xavier Worthy touched the ball three times. He did not siphon targets away from Rashee Rice. Rice is going to be really good. Worthy's going to be very boom bust. He's going to be in that low volume, high upside role in this Chiefs offense, where some weeks he's going to score two touchdowns and some weeks he's going to have like one touch. And you're just going to have to live with that. He's very boom bust, but the boom weeks are really going to help you a lot.
Yeah. I mean, on his long touchdown pass, you saw exactly why the Chiefs wanted to have him. It's an element that was desperately gone from their offense since they lost Tyreek Hill, was this elite deep threat weapon. And he's fast. Like we talked about, There's been fast players in the NFL, but they haven't been like that have come out recently, like John Ross. They haven't been good. And Xavier Worthy is a good football player who is fast, not a fast person who plays football.
Could you say that again, Jeff? Xavier Worthy's a good football player?
I never said he wasn't. I said Adonai Mitchell's better. That's different. You can run back the tape. I said that in like March. or April or whenever we were talking about these guys. I said that exact thing.
Let's go look at the draft wide receivers here.
Why are you doing this?
Jeff did not have Xavier Worthy in his top five.
I had him sixth. Walker preemptively taking me down a peg before I get a chance to talk about Isaiah Likely.
You had him seventh. I had him sixth, and I had him the highest.
Okay. Well, wait until Keon Coleman and Adonai Mitchell play and the BTJ killer, you know. I agree with
two of those three guys.
All three. Okay. Mike, what did you think about Xavier Worthy last night? I'll ask you both. Walker, you do ranks every week. Mike, I'll ask you if you did do ranks. Where would Xavier Worthy be next week?
I would put him 35-40.
Okay, so like a boom bust wide receiver three that you could possibly get away from starting. They are playing the Bengals next week for reference.
Yeah.
Defense, but not bad either.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Walker. He had very two good plays the whole game. Outside of that, it was Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce didn't have all that much of a great game. He had a couple good passes, but the receptions, that's about it. But it looks very much like the Rashee Rice show.
Yes. My priors. Folks, my priors. They have been confirmed. To Mike's point on the Travis Kelce front, he ended the game with just I'm trying to get to some advanced stats here. He ended the game with three targets, four catches, 34 yards, and his A dot was 6.4 yards downfield. So they kind of had him in that almost K dot in territory. Turn around and catch the football. And both teams did really try to take away the number one wide receiver or tight end. You had Mark Andrews 2 for 2 for 14 yards. He did have a catch called back. I swapped in Mark Andrews for Trey McBride at the last minute. I feel very stupid because I have a feeling that Trey McBride will figure out how to get more than 3.4 fantasy points. On the Chiefs side, Xavier Worthy, good. Like Mike said, the Rashee Rice show, 7 for 9, 103. He ran all slants. Literally all of his catches were on slants.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, we have a new slant boy, folks. His name is Rashee Rice. And then Isaiah Pacheco, 2 for 3, 33 yards. Samaje Perine got in there because Isaiah Pacheco, I think he got hit in the gut really hard because he was throwing up on the sidelines. So, but one thing that was kind of interesting that we saw from Pacheco that I want to ask you both about was those were his receiving yards. Isaiah Pacheco had three targets for 33 yards. He did have a long catch. So do we think that that'll be a bigger part of his game this season? Because I don't think that they can rely on Samaje Perine in the Jerick McKinnon role.
No, I think Perine will just he's an outlet.
Yeah.
You know, he's not really a route runner or anything like that. Not that Pacheco is either, but Pacheco's clearly the much more explosive player. And so when they're trying to get the ball into a playmaker's hands in space, he's the better option. When they want somebody to chip and then leak out into the flat and catch it every time, then Perine's the option. So Perine will have a very small, specific role. Pacheco will probably catch like two passes a game, sometimes three. He'll have like 40 catches on the season, if that, maybe like 35. I don't think it's going to be he's suddenly, you know, top five in the league in targets at the position or anything. He's just, you know, his targets come from Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to get like 45, 50 of them. And so he'll catch most of them, and he'll do decently with them. But no, I would say it becomes a bigger part of his game. Yes. Does it become a big part of his game? I don't think so.
Okay. Mike, you in concurrence on that?
Yeah, I really don't see you wanting to start Samaje Perine because he's going to catch passes. He's not valid enough to be a third down back to where he's going to catch five passes, six passes a game. Yeah. It's going to be one or two. So you can't. You know, even during bye weeks, I don't even think you can survive on that.
Yeah, I think people were overprojecting how much of Isaiah Pacheco's game he was going to take away. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to watch the Isaiah Likely touchdown 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and then we'll be back to talk about the Ravens. All right. We're back, folks. It's been 6 hours. I've been watching the Isaiah Likely touchdown on loop. He goes, whoop, at the very end. All right. My question was, will the Ravens run 12 personnel or stupidly put Nelson Aguilar on the field? Since we've been talking about Isaiah Likely, you kind of know the answer to that. But according to Next Gen Stats, the Ravens featured 12 personnel, which I keep saying that it's one running back, two tight ends. It's kind of the one of the more common two tight end sets out there on 52.7% of their plays last night. That was higher than any game that they had last season. Last season, they were third from bottom. I think they were about 26 or 27%. 12 personnel. So the stupid thing that I was honking about all offseason, where I was like, hey, man, they can choose to have Isaiah Likely on the field or choose to have like Nelson Aguilar and Tylan Wallace on the field. They made their decision and they made the smart decision. They went towards Isaiah Likely. Likely finished the game. Let's see, 9 receptions on 12 targets, 111 yards and a touchdown, came an inch away from 10 catches and 2 touchdowns, a toes width away, which, you know, those shoes, they're curved up at the end. You know, I think we need cameras down at the level, because what if his toe is curved up? He never actually touched the white line. What about that?
Wow.
What about that?
It's tough. He was out of bounds.
He was out of bounds. I was just trying to find a way that he wasn't. It's so funny because people put polls up last night, like, was Isaiah Likely out of bounds? And it was like 34% no. And it's like, oh, so this poll has 34% Ravens fans in it.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Walker, do you want to talk about the results of your poll from last night?
Yeah, I posted a real quick 1 hour poll right after the game. Isaiah Likely, top 5 tight end rest of season. And it was 46% yes, 54% no, in case you want to know where the overreactions are at right now.
So if we had to find somebody who was the quote-unquote Isaiah Likely guy, we would probably pick me, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
That is stupid to have him top 5 rest of season. That is so insane.
It's so funny because I anecdotally, just by watching the game, I was like, man, it sure seems like Mark Andrews is getting doubled all the time. And then somebody went through it and was like, ah, yes, Mark Andrews was doubled at the highest rate of his career in this game. It's like, oh, yeah, I wonder why Isaiah Likely was always open, because they were putting like their throwaway linebacker on him and saying, well, if he beats us, he beats us. And he almost did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going for
the FF Ballers went through and he literally tracked. He's like, could this have was. On his routes where he could have quote unquote gotten a target, like half of them, more than half of them, he was either bracketed or yeah. Lamar Jackson was running for his life immediately.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a combination of things. I would imagine that, I mean, what Rashad Bateman had, what, 2 catches. So I would imagine that's probably going to stay about the same. Most of the time, Zay Flowers' role is going to stay the same. He's the manufactured touch guy. And then it's probably just going to swing back and forth between Andrews and Likely, which one of them is the guy on a certain week. So, I mean, at this point, going forward, is Isaiah Likely top 12? I would say yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, yeah, top 6, maybe a little rich yet. I mean, not saying he can't, but I need to see it more than once to with Andrews healthy to put in that high.
Yeah, and I mean I got to look at the stats, but I don't think Dallas Goedert has really done anything so far this game. So I think we're about 4 weeks away from, if this continues, you know, this Dallas Goedert thing that I was worried about, I think we all were worried about him falling off. If that comes to pass, then we're in trouble and he could be a droppable asset. So let's see right now, Dallas Goedert, 4 for 31. Okay, so not bad, not bad. I've been tangentially watching this game. I was also driving, so it would have been illegal for me to watch this game.
Jeff, wrong about
correct.
Dallas Goedert.
Wrong. Jeff, correct about Jaden Reed so far. 3 touches, 112 yards.
2 touchdowns.
Two? Is that allowed? Two of them?
The only Tongo two touchdowns. Of Iloa them?
By the way, second Rashad Bateman catch, legit good.
Yeah, he made a really good play on that one.
Yeah, I would. Oh wow, out loud.
he kind of pulled it out of nowhere.
Yeah. So I think that's that. Oh, Derrick Henry. Not great, Bob, but I think that that's something that's yeah. Mike, you want to talk about Henry a little bit?
Yeah, well, he looks like he replay of when he was with Tennessee. Tyjae Spears in a lot, get taken away a lot of snap shares. Mm-hmm. Same thing with him now in Baltimore. Just a lot of snap shares going elsewhere and not really involved in him. He's lucky he got a touchdown, because if he didn't get a touchdown, his fantasy day would have been a huge bust.
Yeah, so he finished the day with 13 carries for 46 yards and no catches on two targets. Although one of those, it's very generous to on Lamar Jackson to call it target to Derrick Henry. It was just kind of flailed in that direction. But Justice Hill, 6 catches for 52 yards. Mike, you mentioned seems a lot like a Tyjae Spears situation here. Is this a situation where we're going to rush to go pick up Justice Hill?
Oh, that's a good question. I would give it one more week and see if it's pretty much the same way. If it is, then there's the third down kind of back that you might want to pick up, because he's going to get, you know, your 5 receptions or so, especially for bye weeks. That way you're set and ready. So he would be one of those third down specialists I would be looking at.
Yeah, I completely overlooked. I stared straight at Rasheen Ali, completely ignoring Justice Hill to play this role.
I was wondering why. I mean, I had Hill at like running back 46 or something, so I'm not going to sit here and say I was super high on him or anything.
Yeah.
But he was basically going undrafted almost everywhere. And I mean, all you had to do was pick him in the last round or spend a dollar on him in salary cap. So if he's on waivers, I think he's a good pickup. But we got to remember here that this is 17-game season. He's on pace for 102 catches right now. Please tell me if you think that's realistic or not.
No.
Okay, no, so.
I Walker, I will stand on the table and say I do not think that Justice Hill is getting over 100 this year.
Yeah, that seems – I mean, he probably won't even get to 50. So no. Do I think that he's a guy that should be on your bench? Maybe. To lean yes. Do I think that he's going to be consistently startable? Not unless Derrick Henry gets hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a – I mean, Derrick Henry played fewer snaps than Justice Hill by, like, 6 snaps. And they were playing a lot of, like, hurry up. Like, it was a lot of Justice Hill type game, snaps. They had a lot of snaps before the end of the half. They were chasing points all game long. Like at halftime, it was, they were up then down 7. Then at third quarter, it was 17-10. So they were, did I say down 7? I don't know. They're on 3. They were behind all game.
Basically. Yes.
They were chasing points, and it felt like a lot of, and I'm going to transition this to talking about this offensive line and Lamar Jackson really quick, and then we got to get into the games.
I was going to say, we've talked about this game for like 20 minutes, and Jeff's like, well, I got to talk about these 3 more things.
Okay, let me say one more thing, which is this Raven offensive line stinks, and Lamar Jackson is going to get himself hurt running like that all season. He lost his self-preservation mode. Okay, we done?
That's fine with me. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, one more thing about Isaiah Likely. No, just kidding. Oh, also Zay Flowers with the stinkiest 10 target 6 catch game you'll ever see. 6 catches, 37 yards.
Yeah, that's who he is.
Yeah, he's stinky, folks. Spending all pounding the table for Browns Jarvis Landry. Good job, guys.
Yeah, and the way with that offensive line, Lamar Jackson's not going to have enough time to throw deep. It's all going to be dinks and dunks. So that might be pretty much steady for the rest of the season.
Yep. So, all righty. Shall we get into Sunday's games?
Yes.
All right. We're going to start off with Steelers 10-7 traveled to Atlanta to take on the 7-10 Falcons. Atlanta are 3-point favorites. 42-point over-under. Not the stinkiest over-under of the week. That honor goes to Patriots Bengals.
Yeah, because of the Patriots mostly.
Yeah, because of the Patriots mostly. Injuries in this one for the Steelers. Isaac Samuolo with a pec, and Roman Wilson with an ankle, and Logan Lee with a calf are all out. Russell Wilson, calf injury questionable. This is something new. This kind of popped up today.
Yeah, so, it's legitimately looking like Fields might start.
Yeah, so yeah. If you're in a shallower two quarterback league,
go get him
right now. Like, because this very moment.
He's probably going to run for 50 yards.
Yeah, and exactly.
If he puts up two touchdowns and runs for 50 yards, he could throw for like 100 and he'd still have a pretty good fantasy day.
Yeah, and this is why I said that my sleeper for the Steelers this offseason was Rustin Fielson, whichever one's behind center is going to score fantasy points, period. Antonio Hamilton Sr. for the Falcons is out with a groin injury. And before we talk about anything, I just would like to point out, we do have a strong narrative here. It's the Arthur Smith revenge game. Anybody? Anybody? Arthur Smith revenge game? No? Okay. Walker, let's talk about your question.
Will Jaylen Warren play full snap share?
What is a full snap share?
About like 40 to 45% of the snaps for him is usually about full.
I think so. He's off the injury report. He was dealing with something where his week one was in doubt. Early in the week, it was trending in the right direction, seeing reports like he was talking to the media saying, yeah, I'll be okay. And now he's off the report completely. My fear to this, and Mike, I want to know if I'm crazy. My fear is not Najee Harris. It's Cordarrelle Patterson stealing from Jaylen Warren.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, fine. You could put that fear away. Maybe one or two, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson will get. Mike just said maybe one or two, but yeah, I mean, okay. Cordarrelle Patterson will get a couple touches a game because he can be electric in the open field and he's Arthur Smith's buddy. But no, I mean, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are going to be the main two running backs. And Arthur Smith has always used two running backs, you know, unless he's had Derrick Henry in his prime, which that one was pretty obvious.
So what I'm hearing is 2024 Najee Harris.
I wouldn't go that far.
Let me ask you this. Who's better, 2024 Derrick Henry or 2024 Najee Harris?
Good question.
Say the words, Walker.
I honestly don't know right now. I don't know.
Who's better, 2024 Najee Harris or 2024 Derrick Henry?
Oh, I'm going to go Najee Harris.
Clip it. Put it on the socials. Let's go. Hot take, Mike. Hot take, Valverde.
Jeff, you should, and I, because it's the weekend, you can actually do this. You should make one of those like scare quote graphics with Mike's face on it.
Najee Harris, better than
2024 Najee Harris, greater than 2024 Derrick Henry.
And I don't care who knows it. Let me ask this. So are we starting both Najee and Jaylen Warren this weekend?
I'm starting Najee. I have Najee RB21.
Okay.
I have Warren RB33. I'm a little bit more reticent with him. Just I want to see what the passing to running backs looks like under Arthur Smith. He didn't do it a ton in Atlanta. So I wonder if Warren might lose a little bit of that, at least early, especially since he's still maybe more like 85-90% than 100%. If you can avoid Warren this week, I would start, say, Devin Singletary or either Tennessee running back or Javonte Williams over Warren this week.
Okay. Mike, let me ask you this. Are we starting anybody else other than the running backs and George Pickens on the Steelers this week?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. I completely forgot about the person we talked about 30 seconds ago.
And that's about it.
Justin Fields. So so if Justin Fields plays this weekend, are we talking like two quarterback leagues? Are we talking 16 team leagues? Like, where would we stream him?
Yeah, I would definitely do 12 quarterback leagues. 12 quarterback leagues. Let's go, that's, baby. Let's go.
Twelve quarterbacks, two teams.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say that seems difficult.
Yeah, let's do that. Heck yeah. So yeah, 12 team leagues. I would be out on Justin Fields. Barely. It depends on, like, if you have, you know, that 10th through 12th guy, then you can figure out a way maybe to sort of get Justin Fields involved. But anything below number 10, forget about it. But you, for the most part, you're looking at two quarterback leagues.
Yeah, there's a lot of leagues that started, like, guys were taking two quarterbacks, like, back end for just 12-team leagues. But let me ask you about this. Justin Fields or the guy across from him, Kirk Cousins?
Fields.
Yeah, Fields just adds that running element where Kirk Cousins doesn't. So I'm going to go Fields as well.
Okay, sounds good. And then George Pickens, wide receiver 3. I think that's where he's going to live all year. Boom bust wide receiver 3.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Walker.
I was just going to say, don't play Pat Freiermuth. I don't care about the new contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't play Pat Freiermuth either, but also massively long touchdown, Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown. My Scott Fishbowl team is singing, let's go. Let's go, baby. All right. Yeah, I mean, this is, we saw what Arthur Smith did to the Falcons. He made them incredibly difficult to watch and have anybody. But it's a new town, or it's a new team in town for the Falcons. Kirk Cousins in there, Raheem Morris is in there, Zach Robinson's in there, and Mike, you want to know about Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts, who is off the injury report. Fantasy Twitter was in a panic, but he's off the injury.
Well, that's a good thing, because my question wouldn't survive without it.
Mike's curse hit other players, so.
Yeah, it has as a way to tangle out there and make other people feel bad. Does Kirk Cousins make Kyle Pitts a stud?
Stud like top 4 at the position?
Yeah, I'd say top 5.
I think he's more like 6 or 7. I'm higher on him than some folks just because I believe in a competent offense around him. We'll do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's clearly the best quarterback he's played with. I for this week, I have him ranked 8th. Pittsburgh is a pretty good defense, though. I mean, season long, I would have him either 6 or 7.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, right around where Jeff has him. I stud probably a little strong for me. But good asset. Yeah.
All righty. Let me ask you both, Drake London must start every week.
I think until further notice. Yeah. I mean, I have him 13 this week. So yeah.
Bijan Robinson must start every week.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So there's nothing, Kirk Cousins. We just talked about it. It sounds like we'd rather have Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, or let's see. Jared Goff's going up against the Rams. Never mind. I was gonna say Jared Goff, but it's very clearly Jared Goff.
Hmm.
Kirk Cousins or Caleb.
Caleb.
Kirk Cousins or Caleb. I'm going to go Kirk.
Okay. Kirk Cousins or Tua against the Jaguars.
Kirk.
I think Tagovailoa is going to go hawk Tua and spit on that thing.
Dang. I never heard that before.
I just made it up.
Dang, you should go viral crazy. With that.
Yeah, dude. Have you
clip it. Put it on the socials.
You could get a podcast off of that for some reason.
Podcast? What's that?
I don't know. Gino or Kirk Cousins?
Gino
over Kirk Cousins? Nah.
He's playing Denver.
They're stinky. Maybe.
They are stinky. No, I'm still gonna go Kirk.
All right. So we all have Atlanta winning that one. Next game up, Cardinals at Bills. Cardinals finished last year at 4-13. Bills finished last season at 11-6. Buffalo 6-point favorites, 48-point over under. Injuries in this one. Xavier Weaver is out with an oblique injury. Our boy
Joey Blunt.
Joey Blunt is questionable with a back injury. Tip Ryman also
Joey
questionable.
Blunt. Joey Blunt, back blown out.
Calm down. For Buffalo, we've got Javon Solomon is out with an oblique injury. Dwayne Smoot is out with the toe, or is questionable with the toe injury. Question: is he related to Fred Smoot of the Sex Boat fame?
Maybe.
This is important information.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. Well, Walker does the tough reporting. I have to ask my question for this week, which is, will Kyler Murray finish as QB1 or QB2 this week?
What do I have? Let me look.
Will he finish as wait for the translation.
QB7.
Wrong. Mike, QB1 or QB2?
I say QB8.
Also wrong. The correct answer was QB1. That will be the correct answer for the foreseeable future. Until reality puts me on my ass. My real question is, what do we think the target distribution is going to look like for the Cardinals? Because we have a lot of people putting a lot of faith into Trey McBride. Waleed has Trey McBride finishing his tight end 1 this season, if you remember from the Flag Plant show. And then we've got Marvin Harrison Jr., who basically has to have an all-time rookie wide receiver season to justify what you paid to get him. So I want to know what this target share looks like to start the season. And I think this is I'm taking the over by a wide margin in this game, because the Bills defense is going to be bad and the Bills offense is going to be good. And so there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. So I think you want to get a bunch of pieces in this game. But the bad part is there's not a lot of depth on the Cardinals. It's James Conner. It's Trey McBride. It's Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison. And they are all must start people, I think, this week.
I don't know if James Conner qualifies as must start for me, but it's close. I mean, I think in almost any circumstance, you would have had to draft a really good team to not be starting James Conner.
Yeah, if you took him, he's at least your flex.
Right. If you took him in like round 6 and you've got, say, like Alvin Kamara, Devon Achane and Kenneth Walker on your team, also you went running back heavy, then fine. But like,
yeah.
First off, why were you drafting like that? And second off,
first off, fix your brain. Second off,
You shouldn't be drafting like that. And you can't be drafting like that, white baby. But I knew that would get Jeff.
Poor Mike, Mike's just like, okay, another internet reference, great.
Yeah, so Mike's just sipping his drink. He's like, man, I couldn't tell you. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about this game, so I will say, I looked up the Smoots. They are not related.
Okay.
But Fred Smoot, he seems like a guy that TH Fantasy would talk about, in that his personal life section has three things in it. The first is, Smoot has advocated for the passage of the Fit Kids Act, federal legislation that would require school districts to report on students' physical activity while also distributing health and nutritional information. So that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second subheading is domestic violence accusations.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then the third one is a civil misdemeanor charge, which who cares? But yeah. He was also in a car crash, a single vehicle car crash that broke his jaw in 5 different spots in 2006.
Jesus.
Yep.
Was this Fred or this was Fred Smoot?
That was Fred. DeJuan Smoot's still playing and has had no legal issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred Smoot of Sex Boat fame. Also, Mike, Walker was referencing a tweet. I had to pull up the actual tweet so I could get it right. It says,
I'd be drinking this apple juice.
Yeah. Grown-up sized white baby I'm friends with. The way I'd be drinking this damn apple juice. Ooh, child. And then me, you can't be talking like that, white baby. Mike's like, I learned nothing. Thank you. All right.
Mike is also on mute again.
Mike! You can't be muting like that, large baby.
Damn it.
Large white baby. Dontavian Wicks just got DPI'd. All right.
Dontavian pass interference.
Dontavian PI. Walker.
Yeah.
Who is War One?
So who is the Buffalo Bills War One?
Oh. Okay.
I think it's gonna be Keon Coleman at when all the dust settles. I think it's gonna be pretty close between him and Curtis Samuel. And I think there will be weeks where either one of them are wide receiver one. There'll probably even be a week or two where Khalil Shakir's wide receiver one. But overall, I think Coleman will have the best stats, and I think he'll probably be the most consistently productive because he's got the best chance to score touchdowns.
Do we feel good about starting him this week?
That depends how deep your league is, in my opinion. Like, would I start him over George Pickens? No. Would I start him over Jordan Addison? Yes.
Do you have any other Jor guys that you would start him over?
I'd start him over Jameson Williams.
Would you start him over Jordan Reed?
The retired tight end?
He is not retired.
He's not?
He's not. Jordan Reed was most recently with the San Francisco 49ers and was cut.
Oh, well, yeah, then yes, I would play him over that guy.
Okay, sounds good. He's not playing this week.
No wonder, because he got cut.
Christian Watson just scored a touchdown.
Okay.
All right. Mike, who do you think's the wide receiver one in Buffalo?
It's got to be Keon Coleman. I mean, Mac Hollins.
Mac Hollins, who's a guy who doesn't wear shoes when he's not playing football.
Mac Hollins is so weird, dude. Yeah. There's so much shit about him. He is a freak. When he was with the Raiders, not only was he the special teams captain, but he would gritty while downing punts.
Nice.
He's so funny, dude. And he's constantly on the field because he blocks so well.
Yeah.
That everybody wants him out there and everybody loves him, but he's a garbage wide receiver. Like, he can't catch the ball or run routes or get past anybody.
No, he's just a really good blocker.
He is insanely good at blocking, and he can make a contested catch because he's really strong.
Yeah. Because, again, the blocking.
Yeah. They're trying to replace Gabe Davis with Mac Hollins, and it's just a worse version of the same guy.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Mike, do you have the conviction to start Keon Coleman this week? Same question as Walker.
No, I don't. Unless you're starting three wide receivers.
Receivers and a flex in my 14-team home league, I'd start him there.
There you go. Now it sounds like a perfect spot.
A league where you could play... So what's that?
You could theoretically play 56 receivers.
Yeah, I'm like, sure. So he's in Walker's top 56.
He's 43rd.
Ooh, all right. By the way, Walker's ranks, top of the page, footballobscurity.com. Literally any page. There's a button.
You got to click on him. You got to do
Walker's,
it.
Yeah, you simply have to do it.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. Walker had Isaiah Likely as tight end one this week.
What? Who did I have as tight end one?
Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, let me just change that.
Yeah.
And then not tell anybody
Walker,
I did.
Walker, go change it.
That's too conspicuous.
Jaden Reed also wide receiver one this week. And then in parentheses it says so far. It says subject to change.
So far.
Subject to change.
All right. So Curtis Samuel. I just want to say Curtis Samuel was dealing with the toe all preseason. He is off the injury report, but I am very wary of turf toes. I'm surprised a lot of more people aren't more wary of turf toes. They take a while to heal. So Curtis Samuel is going to start off slow. It's just something that's going to happen. So if you have him on your roster, don't fear. Consensus ADP has him, or consensus ranks this week have him two spots different from Keon Coleman. So people are not paying attention to that.
For example, I have Coleman at 43, Samuel not in my top 50.
Yeah. And people don't have Keon Coleman in their top 50 either. Stupid.
Wrong.
Idiots. All right. James Cook must start. Josh Allen must start.
Yeah.
The quarterback one must start.
Yeah, he's quarterback one for me.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Let's have
Dalton Kincaid must start.
Dalton Kincaid, you drafted him in a place where you have to start him.
Yes, that's correct.
Dalton Kincaid must start, parentheses, because you made a bad pick. He's going to come out and score two touchdowns. He's going to have
No, he isn't.
He's going to have a classic Isaiah Likely game.
No, he isn't. He's going to have six catches for 57 yards.
Disgusting. Make it four for 57, so it's like 10.7 fantasy. No, 5 for 57.
Oh, yeah, 10.7 fantasy points, and he's tight end 11.
Yeah. All right, we all have Buffalo winning. Mike, anything Go else you want Bills. To talk about with the Bills?
No, I'm actually kind of worried about Josh Allen, to be honest with you, because he has no receivers, but...
He has Keon Coleman!
Yeah.
He has his legs, though.
Yeah.
He does have his legs, but...
He's got not, them gams!
He's not going to run for 100 yards like Lamar Jackson and make it effective.
Yeah, but they'll run for 50. And that's 850 yards over 17 games, baby.
Woo-wee! All right. Like I said, all Buffalo winning. All right. We got Titans, Bears. Titans 6-11. Bears 7-10. Chicago, 4-point favorites. 45.5-point over under.
I'm
what?
So sorry. I just saw the what Mike has typed in his Bengals thing. Is Jamar Chase going to be play?
Going to be play.
Is he going to be play? Anyways, 45.5-point over under. Injuries in this one. Blitz Boy, who is now on the Titans, is out with an injury.
What?
A hip injury. Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't know Blitz Boy was a Titan?
No, I missed that one completely.
Yeah, Jamal Adams is now a Titan. Okay. Otis Reed also out with a concussion. DeAndre Hopkins is questionable with a knee injury. And Chidobe Awuzie is questionable with a calf. So what I want to know, and I think this is the most important part, is which quarterback is better, Caleb Williams or Will Levis? No, it's actually what is the running back snap and target distribution going to be for the Titans? I think that this is going to be a storyline in all capital letters all offseason for or all regular season for the Titans, because like we've said, Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears, kind of the same guy. I think that Tony Pollard is a slightly better version of that guy. I think he's also the one that will get more touchdowns. I like Tyjae Spears' value better, but I'm very curious to see, because in the preseason, they were rotating. They were rotating like
drive to drive.
So I don't know if the Titans are going to do that in the regular season. That seems crazy to me.
Oh, I think they will. I think they're going to do it.
But it's so crazy. Nobody will get any sort of momentum. That's the problem. Like, they won't get
if somebody gets like a 40-yard touchdown, they'll probably send it back out there. But like, no, I mean, I think that they'll do a lot of rotational stuff. And I think that it's going to end up Pollard like 56% of the carries to Spears's 44. And then like Spears 55% of the targets to Pollard's 45. And they end up with almost exactly the same point total. Like, I would say them finishing back to back in the final fantasy point standings is so possible.
Yeah. Okay. But let me ask this. If there's like a 3-and-out where it's like Will Levis gets sacked and like Tony Pollard gets like a draw play just, you know, to get the ball forward on third down, is he going to like go up to a little kid who like died immediately in Mario when they're supposed to switch off controllers and be like, "Mom, it's not fair, Coach Callahan. It's not fair."
Well, I don't think they're going to take it that seriously. I don't think they're going to be that rigid about it.
Okay.
I just think it'll end up working out that they play about the same amount.
I think so. I'm very curious to see how it plays out, though. Folks, are we starting DeAndre Hopkins this week?
Yikes.
I think that says it all.
Yeah, I kind of avoid that situation.
Yeah,
I have Hopkins at 38, Ridley at 41 for the Tennessee receivers. So I'm not real excited about that.
Yeah. By the way, do you both know what his knee injury is?
Meniscus?
He tore his MCL.
Ooh.
And he's just going to play on it.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's beast. I'm not going to lie. That's baller.
Yeah, he just brought it up in a thing they're asking about his knee. He's like, "Yeah, I tore my MCL like 4.5-5 weeks ago. And like those things take like a year to heal. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do." I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, Hopkins doesn't get enough credit for being out of his mind. I mean, he's an absolute freak show, but that's why he's so good.
Yeah. So, what about Calvin Ridley?
No. Not what? Against Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago top five defense after they got Montez Sweat last year. Don't forget.
It won't be a top five defense this year, but top 10 possible.
Yeah. Also, Saquon Barkley has more fantasy points this week than Patrick Mahomes. Is that good?
Patrick Mahomes only had like 15 points.
Yeah. He? Is that bad?
I mean, Mahomes played pretty good, but yeah, not a great fantasy day.
Not a good fantasy day. And then who else there? Don't play Chig. Don't play Will Levis. Sorry, Tony.
Correct.
All right, Mike. Now I need to know if the answer to this question is going to be another sorry, Tony. What is your question on the Bears side?
So for this week and for the season, is Caleb Williams going to be a stud or a marginal?
Is what?
Caleb Williams?
Caleb.
Caleb?
Or Caleb.
Caleb.
I call him Caleb.
Akeem Talib Williams, Walker. How are we feeling about him?
I think he's going to be snatching the defense's chain.
Damn, got him.
I think this year he's more of a marginal quarterback. I think he can definitely reach stud status in his career, but he's got enough bad habits still that I don't think he's going to immediately be an NFL stud. He's going to make some incredible plays because of his raw talent, but he's also going to take some bad sacks, give up some bad turnovers. You know, I don't expect him to have a C.J. Stroud-esque rookie season. I think he'll be exciting, and I think he'll be an improvement over Justin Fields, certainly, but I think he'll probably end up finishing this season. You'll look back on it and say, yeah, he was a average to above average starting quarterback.
Okay. I think that's it for the Titans. We're talking about the Bears. Sorry, I got Caleb Williams lost there.
I would say only in two quarterback leagues. DeAndre Swift is a good flex play, but that's as far as I will go. Play DJ Moore. I'd avoid it otherwise, but if I'm going to play one of the other two guys, I'd rather play Rome.
Yes.
And then don't play Cole Kmet.
Okay. Mike, are you in concurrence?
Yes, I'm in concurrence.
All right. Mike is in concurrence. All right. I've got the Chicago Bears winning this one.
I'm picking the Titans, and Tony can't even get mad at me because he loves Will Levis. So I'm playing both sides, so I always come out on top.
That's right.
Jeff taught me a
lot. Yeah.
I'm taking Chi.
Chi. Mike's Chi is all out of whack.
Yeah. He's going to get it centered this weekend in Chicago. All right. The worst game of the week.
Yeah, because is Jamar Chase going to be Clay?
Charles Clay?
Shout out Charles Clay.
Yeah.
Bengals. All right.
Hold on. I got to introduce it. Go ahead. Okay. Walker?
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right. I was just going to say the Bengals might be without both Chase and Higgins, and yeah. Higgins is certainly likely right now. He's doubtful. Didn't practice today, so he could still play, but it's unlikely. Chase, I think, probably will suit up, but could be rusty. The Patriots' offense is bad. The Bengals' defense is not great, but Lou Anarumo is a smart coordinator. I think this one's probably going under 40.5.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I'm thinking like 21-13 Bengals.
I think we're going to talk on Tuesday about how Zach Moss had like 25 carries.
25 carries for 89 yards.
Woo! Joe Mixon is back, baby.
Yeah, Zach Moss has like the fourth most rushing yards in the league and averages 3.4 a carry.
Yeah. All right. So now I'll do the actual intro. Patriots at Bengals. Patriots were 4-13 last season. Bengals were 9-8. Cincy 8.5-point favorites. 40.5-point over under. City Sal. Very.
Let's go Eastern game. Michigan. Shout out.
City Sal will not be playing. He has an ankle injury. Antonio Gibson is questionable with a hip injury. For the Bengals, Amarius Mims, Chris Jenkins, both ruled out. As Walker mentioned, T. Higgins doubtful with a hamstring injury, and Ja'Marr Chase is questionable with wanting to get that bag. So is it Andre Josivas season?
Oh yeah.
Josivas.
Oh yeah.
Josivas.
It's gonna be so funny when Andre Josivas has a third of his season production in one game. He goes like 7 for 81 and a touchdown, and everybody rushes to the waiver wire, and then he has 12 catches the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's gonna rule when he's buried in the depth chart behind two of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
He's the new Mike, not Michael Thomas.
Ooh, that's a good pull.
Hey.
Mike, encompassing what we feel about that with one noise.
Yeah. All right.
Most economical podcaster on the podcast. <That's true.
laughs>
Me and Walker have a case of yak-itis, and Mike's just sitting back there choosing his spots. All right, Mike, we're going to start with you because we're already talking about the Bengals. Is Ja'Marr Chase going to have a play day?
Yeah, is he going to play this week?
I think that is the biggest question.
Yeah. I think the Bengals could lose this game if Chase and Higgins both don't play. If at least one of them plays, they'll have enough to win. But yeah, even if Chase plays, I just think it's going to be an ugly one. The Patriots defense is good.
Yeah. So, Mike, what do you think?
I think he's going to play. I've trying to read his statements lately, and I think it looks like he's going to play. So I would say if you can't bench him, but as Walker pointed out with the Patriots defense, it's not going to be a great day, especially if he hasn't really had much of a spring training, if any. Has he played at all during the spring training? I don't know.
Spring training?
I mean, preseason. I got baseball on the mind.
No, well, he hasn't played in spring training. I don't think he's played in the preseason either.
No, he's had two practices.
Oh, wow.
And one of them, or three practices, and two of them have been the last two.
Oh, boy. Is that good?
Be rusty. Yeah, that's not good.
Alrighty, so Ja'Marr Chase, if he plays, you play him, even if he's rusty.
That's correct. You have to.
Unfortunately.
T. Higgins, if he plays, I think you can get away from. He's hurt. He's not wanting money. He is injured.
Yeah, he's injured right now, and it's a good defense. I can understand pivoting off of him for sure.
Okay. Mike, do you concur?
I concur.
Zach Moss, play him?
Zach Moss, baby. Let's go.
Zach Moss is a flex option, in my opinion, and a pretty solid one.
Okie dokie. Chase Brown, don't do it. Folks, don't do it.
Yeah, don't
do it.
Wait and see.
Yep,
wait and see. I think that's it. Joe Burrow, if you drafted him, you're probably playing him. Probably got him as like your quarterback 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah, I have him at 10 for the week, so you're probably playing him.
Yep. Mike, or Walker, let's talk about the Patriots.
Nice. Yeah. How long will it be? I want your stake in the ground right now. How long will it be until we see Drake May?
Well, I get to pull up the Patriots schedule.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So Patriots schedule. Let's see. Mike, I'll run it down for you. See what we got here. We got Cincy, Seattle, the Jets, the Niners, Miami, Houston, Jacksonville, the Jets again. Now, Miami is the start of a homestand, a four-game homestand.
Four-game homestand?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
They don't play outside of New England for the entire month of October.
Dang.
Yeah. But it's like, they start off their season with 3 of 4 games on the road and then end their season with 3 of 5 games on the road. So,
yeah.
Very, very weird move from the schedule makers. Also, Miami escapes having to go into Foxborough in December. I think the switch is Miami.
Yeah, maybe.
Their defense is very beat up. They're coming off a stretch of like Seattle, New York, San Francisco could be 3 of the top 7 defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, they won't play May against any of those. I think you're probably right. What were the games right after Miami again?
Houston, Jacksonville, and then the Jets again.
Yeah, I don't think they wait until Jacksonville. I would agree. I think Miami is the jumping off point. What about you, Mike?
After 3.5 quarters, he comes in.
Oh!
I almost spit soda everywhere.
Spice.
Mike's like, fuck your schedule reading. 3.5 quarters.
Doesn't matter.
No, I think Miami sounds about right.
It's going to be like a glass shattering sound. It's like, oh my God, it's the Chargers old team doctor. And he's got a needle. He's going to pop his lung again.
that was a different backup quarterback.
What?
That was Tyrod Taylor.
I thought that was Brissett.
No, Tyrod Taylor got his lung punctured.
Well, shit. I made a whole joke and everything.
Oh, man.
I thought you were just making a reference to it at first.
Son of a bitch. Until I said again. All right. Well, all right, now I feel stupid.
Anyway, we've all picked
Cincinnati. And slightly racist.
Move on.
All right, we all picked the Bengals. Next game, Texans, Colts, 48.5 point over under. Houston, 2.5 point favorites. Texans finished 10-7 last year. Colts finished. Every time I see this, Mike, and it's no disrespect to the Colts, I am shocked. I forget that they finished above 500 last year. They were 9-8. They didn't feel like a 9-8 team, we'll say.
No, I was pretty shocked too that they finished 9-8. I was actually surprised that the winner of the Texans Colts last year in the last game of the season went to the playoffs. So both teams surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, and they did that with a backup quarterback. All right, injuries in this one. The Texans, SMJ Stewart, safety MJ Stewart, out with a knee injury. Josh Downs, out with an ankle injury. Matt Gay, questionable with a hernia injury. Mike started the curse early this year. So if you didn't listen last year, Mike, every week will have one player that he puts in the show doc that ends up not playing that week. Every week it happens. And this week he cursed Josh Downs. So, Mike, let's talk about your question for your team, for your boys.
Who will be the number one? Who will be the number two receiver? Adonio Mitchell or Alec Pierce? Because I can't say Downs now because he's out. So
the number two receiver will be Michael Pittman.
Ooh. He'll also be the number one receiver. And then the number three receiver after Michael Pittman twice will be Alec Pierce.
No, it will be Adonai Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell is going to be the number two, but it's going to be a huge distance between him and Michael Pittman.
If there's a way to bet Michael Pittman over a certain number of targets, I'm betting that.
Oh, yeah, there most definitely is.
He is getting double digit targets for sure.
I think this is going to be one of those games where you're like, I can't believe they started the season giving Michael Pittman 16 targets.
Yeah, he's going to have like 12 for 115 and a touchdown.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gonna have an Amon-Ra game.
Yeah, it's gonna be bonkers. And then Adonai Mitchell will be second with like six catches for like, no, four catches for like 68 yards. Respectable wide receiver four game.
I mean, that's
and much four more touchdowns.
Oh, okay, great. I was gonna say that's so much more reasonable than I expected, but yeah, I should have been waiting for the hammer.
No, I always want to see how these guys translate into real NFL action before I get crazy on how I felt about him in the preseason. Except for Rashee Rice. That was the one time that I was like...
He was over his skis and he was correct, folks.
That's right, folks. Sometimes you hit a tree. Sometimes you're going down and you just, you know, you vibe your way through a black diamond. And you definitely don't die. All right. Are we just starting Michael Pittman, Anthony Richardson, and Jonathan Taylor?
Yes.
All right. Anthony Richardson, top five for you this week, Walker?
Number four.
All right. And those three are all must starts. All right. Walker's question. Walker's question is very interesting. And I don't think any of after this game, I think the answer will be zero.
That's true. By the end of the season, how many 1,000-yard receivers will Houston have?
Ooh.
Two.
I agree. Mike, how many?
Yeah, I'm going to go two. I think three is too many. I don't think
now.
Joe Mixon and Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Now, seriously, though, I want to know which two.
Tank and Collins.
I agree. Wow. Okay. No digs. We're all out on Diggs.
Yep.
I think that Diggs is going to move to more of a like late career
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say Anquan Boldin, so suck it. But they have the same late career.
Shout out the Cardinals.
Yeah, shout out the Niners, baby.
Larry Fitz was never on the Niners, though, so.
Yeah, so I think that, yeah, I think he's going to move into more like a Wiley vet role, which will get him a lot of targets and, like, a lot of impactful targets, but they're not going to be the, like, massive downfield targets.
No. I think he averages, like, maybe 11 yards a catch this year, but he has, like three quarters of them are for first downs or touchdowns.
Exactly. He's like, going to have really high impactful catches.
Yeah, he has, like, 80 for 890 and 9 touchdowns. And he's like decent to good for fantasy, but finishes as like wide receiver 24 and doesn't crack 1,000 yards.
Yeah. So real quick, Walker, you'll never guess what Jordan Love just did.
Did he throw a pick?
He threw off his back foot for an interception.
Yeah.
Yes!
Okay. Oh. Walker vindicated. Nobody was really on the other side of that, but Walker, so excited. Yeah, so I think that's we're starting Collins, we're starting Dell, correct?
Oh yeah.
Are we starting Stefon Diggs?
Was
that Cooper DeGee? It was a white boy.
Probably that. Either that or Reed Blankenship.
Oh, it could have been Reed Blankenship. Okay.
I'm naming my weed strain Reed Dankenship.
Dang. Yeah, it was Reed Blankenship.
Stefon Diggs, I have at 29. He's a good flex option. Dell and Collins, I'm starting.
Okay. Joe Mixon. Mike?
Joe Mixon starting? Yes.
Okay. Damian Pierce. I just want to confirm he's still ass, right?
He's still
ass. Yeah. That guy sucks.
Dalton Schultz. No.
Fringe.
He's not exciting.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is an upper blob tight end. If that's what you're going for, it wouldn't be what I'm going for.
And it was Reed Blankenship, and I know this because the guy playing against me in my home league is starting Weed Dankenship.
Weed Dankenship. Nice. we're gonna just keep adding more references. Weed Dankenstick.
That's right. All right. I forgot how we can just sit here and bullshit and make these things take forever. Okay, that's it. I have Houston winning.
Me too.
Mike?
Mike is picking Indy, and he should be.
Indy, yes, let's go.
Mike will prove to be right. Jags, Dolphins. Jags finished last season 9-8.
Indy, more like Indeed.com, because after this season, Shane Steichen's going to need to get a damn job.
Damn, get him.
That's not
get him. Get him.
Not getting fired.
I hope not. That would be depressing.
Saquon Barkley just scored his third touchdown.
Wow.
Have a day.
Have a day, Saquon. All right. Next game, Jags Dolphins. Jags 9-8, Dolphins 11-6. Neither of these teams play the Buccaneers. So this is the battle of Florida for this year. Miami, 3.5-point favorites, 49.5-point over-under. Daniel Thomas for the Jags is questionable with an Achilles injury. He's a safety. Malik Washington, a rookie for the Dolphins, is out with a quad injury. He's a wide receiver. Jalen Ramsey, questionable with a hamstring injury. So it's possible we might see the best name in the NFL. Do we know the best name in the NFL? Defensive back for the Dolphins.
Storm Duck.
Storm Duck, baby.
Yes.
Woo! Best name in the NFL. All right. So my question is, it's about the Jaguars. They kind of revamped their wide receiver core this offseason, got rid of Calvin Ridley, brought in Brian Thomas, BTJ Killer, brought in Gabe Davis, both traditionally thought of as deep threats, although Gabe Davis, I think Walker mentioned when we were talking about Malik Collins, is an exceptional blocker. That's why you would see him last few years with the Bills, he'd have games where he'd just disappear. because he was out there to block. He was playing all these snaps. People were in a panic, and it's because he was out there to block. They were going to throw the ball to Stephon Diggs or run it. That was their plan. Or Dawson Knox. So my question is like, does this new look wide receiver core with Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas Jr., not senior, and Gabe Davis, does this elevate Trevor Lawrence? Because if it doesn't, my absurd ranking of Trevor Lawrence as quarterback 8 is going to bite me in the ass. So I need to know, does the new look wide receiver core elevate T-Law this season? And Mike, you are, of the three of us, I think the biggest T-Law fan. So what do you think? Do you think that this wide receiver core will help him get to the next level?
I'm hoping so. I mean, that's the reason why I put him as a flag plant this year, is because of that wide receiver core. And they don't rely on the running game as much as, you know, other teams would, and what you would think, with, especially with someone that's a talented Travis Etienne. So I think this passing game will also be beneficial. So to answer your question, absolutely yes.
Absolutely. All right, Walker, where are we ranking T-Law this week?
Jesus, I'm way too low on Trevor Lawrence. Hold on here. I got to update this. We'll slide him in there. I got him at 14.
14. Okay, so kind of a not really a
speculative start. Really good QB2, yeah. Or like fringe QB1.
Okay. All righty. So let's see. Who else? You're starting Travis Etienne, obviously. Yep, you're starting Evan Ingram, obviously. So what about the wide receivers? What are we doing with them this week? Are we waiting to see what happens? Or Mike, what are you doing? Are you starting these guys this week?
The Jags wide receivers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. What do we got? We have not Diggs, but the guy from Buffalo.
Gabe Davis.
And then the other two guys. And I think they're just average. So, yeah, I'm keeping away from them.
The BTJ killer is anything but average, first of all.
BTK killer.
BTJ. We do not condone what the BTK killer did. Only what the BTJ killer will do.
BTJ.
I'm clipping Mike going, BTK killer.
Yeah, in the excited voice.
So, yeah, I agree. I like Brian Thomas. Obviously, I won't shut up about him. I really like Christian Kirk. I think Gabe Davis will have some enough targets to matter, but I don't want to start any of them this week if I can. Like, I'm starting Christian Kirk in a 14-team, 3 wide receiver in a flex league. So that's where I'm starting him. But I'm starting him over Mike Williams. And, hey, maybe I should have put this guy in the flex. Isaiah Likely? Should I have done that?
Yes.
Hey, likely.
Yeah, so. Likely that would have been a good idea. My benches are looking great, I have to say.
I would start Christian Kirk in most circumstances. He's my wide receiver 31.
Okay.
So high-end flex. Brian Thomas, I think, he's a boom-bust guy, but in deep leagues, I think you should play him. I think he's a, shallow leagues, 10-team, 2 wide receiver leagues, definitely not. But if you're, 3 wide receivers in a flex, I see no reason not to throw him in and see if you get a boom week.
All right, sounds good. Mike, let's talk about the Dolphins.
Dolphins.
It's your question.
What will the running game rotation look like with Mostert, Achane, and Jalen Wright?
Jalen Wright's getting about 20 touches.
Wow. That's a lot of touches.
Wow. I think Jalen Wright is getting 20 divided by 10 touches.
What?
2 touches for Jalen Wright.
Per drive?
No.
I think per drive. No, I don't think Jalen Wright's going to really play in this one. I think he's a break glass when the glass breaks sort of guy for Mostert and Achane.
I will say Mostert probably takes about like 55 to 60% of the touches. Achane takes the rest. Achane probably scores more points because he's more explosive.
Yeah, I think that Achane does have a much higher yards per touch. And then you have Mostert getting more touches and any goal line carry. So they'll probably end up about the same when all said and done.
Raheem Mostert, 13 touches, 65 yards and a touchdown, one catch. So he has 13.5 points. Devon Achane, 9 carries for 61 yards and 3 catches for 30 yards. So he ends up with, and he ends up with, like, you know, and he scores a touchdown too, and he ends up with like 18.
Yeah. That sounds about right. By the way, remember when I said, you won't be shocked by what Jordan Love did? CJ Gardner Johnson is hurt, and you'll probably won't be shocked that he was yelling at somebody while he was sitting on the field.
Yeah, that's about right. I got really tired of that guy last year.
Yeah, he's a lot. Walker on Debo Samuel's side.
If I'm on a side in who's less annoying, definitely Debo Samuel.
Yes. All right. Both wide receivers for the Dolphins are must starts. Mike, how are you feeling about Tua this week?
I like Tua, but I think he's going to be more of a two quarterback league situation than a starter. So this will probably be one of those situations where he's going to fall in between like 12 and 15.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to if they choose to run it or throw it at the goal line one time or within the 10. You know, it could be a rushing touchdown for Mostert or Achane, or a passing touchdown to Jonnu Smith, we'll say. And then we're going to all go pick up Jonnu Smith. By the way, this might shock you, but Josh Jacobs looking like a better football player than Emmanuel Wilson.
Shocking.
Sorry, Adam Kofler. Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I have Tua at 11.
Okay, so kind of the same thing. Like, you would start him in 12 quarterback. I almost did it. 12 quarterback leagues, 12 team leagues, but not the best start. All right, no. Let's. I got Miami winning this one.
Same.
Mike's got.
I got the Jaguars.
What? Mike's got the Jags winning the Battle of Miami. Miami, or the Battle of Florida. Miami's good in the first half of the season, Mike. Don't forget.
They are good in the first half, and then they can't figure it out for the rest of the. This year is going to be different. This year they're going to be really bad the first half, but then really good at the end of this.
Oh, season. Okay.
Mike's going to flip-flop it?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. That's going to be one of those things that Mike just says off the cuff that turns out to be true. Mike has an ability to bend reality to his takes.
But only on occasion, though.
Yeah. Alrighty, let's talk about the game that might actually be the worst game of the week. Panthers-Saints. Panthers 2-15. Saints 9-8. Saints 4-point favorites. 41.5 point over-under. It's going to be the worst game of the week because the two best players will not be playing. That would be tight ends Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble are both out.
That's disappointing. There goes my fantasy team, damn it.
Yeah. Mike's in a 12 tight end league. Josh Nyman? I think I'm saying that right.
Josh
Nyman. Walker's got the pulse on the names better than I do. Questionable with the tibia injury for the Saints. Jalen Ford, Dalen Holker, DeMarco Jackson, Kalen Saunders are all out. A.T. Perry, Nick Saldiveri, Willie Gay Jr. are all questionable. Willie Gay Jr., all of a sudden,
he's in New Orleans now.
Yeah, I always forget he exists. I'm like, oh, my God. Willie Gay Jr.? All right. My question is about the Panthers. Will Dave Canales fix Bryce Young? I think that there is not much to talk about there. This was a disaster last year. Dave Canales, no quarterback whisperer. We need to see something from Carolina. And honestly, I drafted Jonathan Brooks. I would take a stab at Adam Thielen. I know, Mike, you're a Deontay Johnson fan. We all love Xavier Leggett, but not for fantasy.
I don't love Xavier Leggett at all. I think he sucks.
Well, no, but you love Xavier Leggett, the personality.
Oh, yeah, he sounds funny and seems cool.
Yeah, no, I'm saying we love Xavier Leggett, the person.
Okay, yeah. He seems cool.
Yeah.
I just think he sucks at football. Sorry, man.
But Chuba Hubbard is a, like, flex at best right now.
NPC running back.
NPC running back. And he's a flex at best, and that's it for this offense this week. And Deontay. Sorry, Deontay.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely not starting Bryce. Yeah, Chuba is a flex. Deontay Johnson is a better flex, you know, low end to mid tier wide receiver three. And that's it.
Yep. So, Mike, do you concur?
I concur.
All right, let's not talk about this dog shit team anymore. All right, let's talk about a different dog shit team. Walker, let's talk about the Saints.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get out of the way. Is Taysom Hill going to be a top 12 tight end this season?
Yes or no. It's too hard to tell.
Jeff will always find a way to sit on that fence.
I had him at tight end 14, so I'm going to say no.
That's fair. I also will say no, but I think it's barely, and the fact that it's even a conversation means that he's going to be annoying again.
Yeah.
So just have him on your team so that you can laugh at everybody else when the annoyance happens.
Yeah, you want to be the giver of the annoyance, not the receiver.
That's right.
So, Mike, what do you think?
I like him around tight end 15.
Ah.
All right, so we all concur, really.
We all concur that it would be funny if you beat your team with him or beat your friends with him. Beat your team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, like I have him as my only tight end in my home league because I stacked the rest of my roster. I just punted tight end. So it's going to be really funny when I win weeks because Taysom Hill has 26 points for no reason.
Taysom Hill has one catch for 4 yards and 4 carries for 4 touchdowns and 6 yards.
four wildcat quarterback dives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be Taysom Hill. And then Walker will make that exact laugh at every touchdown.
Ah.
All right. Derek Carr. I think he's in the Tua Kirk Cousins just kind of like okay to quarterback league quarterback. You probably don't want to start him anywhere else. Sort of bucket.
I have him at 24.
Oh, Jesus.
Carolina's defense isn't that bad.
I guess so. Yeah, his consensus is 27. So maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I know Mike's going to back you up on Derek Carr.
Mike loves Derek Carr.
I love Derek Carr.
TH Fantasy Voice. I'm a big lover of Derek Carr. all right. Chris Olave. Walker is bringing up slander on the timeline. And we need
it's
to
not
address
slandering.
This.
You said this. I listened.
We need to address
to the-
this.
Literally listened to the podcast with Patrick Mayhorn from 2022 today because I've run out of podcasts.
We need to address this. How dare you, first of all.
Jeff had Chris Olave, wide receiver 8 in the class.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, was I wrong that he can't consistently thrive as a wide receiver 1?
I'm not saying you're wrong about that. You're changing the subject because you don't want to talk about how you had him a wide receiver 8.
Okay, let's go back. What year did he come out? 22?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what dumb...
That's what you said on the podcast, so...
Let's see. Was I wrong to have Treylon Burks over him?
Yes.
Was I wrong to have David Bell over him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was wrong. man.
I was so high on David Bell. I thought David Bell was going to be a stud.
Yeah, Mike had David Bell much lower than I did, though.
Yeah, probably lower than I did, too. I was really high on him as well.
Walker had David. I was lower than all of you guys. Or Walker had David Bell 3rd. Wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wow.
I love David Bell.
Walker didn't even have... Wait, hold on. Walker didn't even have Chris Olave. Oh, yeah, in their top 5. What's going on?
Did I have him at 6?
I don't know, but he's not in your top 5.
Well, then he must have been 6.
This is ridiculous. Walker is attacking me.
Let me look.
Consensus 6, which means you had him either 6 or 7.
I can probably find my 2022 draft grade.
Oh my god. I'm so mad at you right now, Walker. I thought you had him like 4th or something.
Maybe I can.
Anyways, we're starting Chris Olave this week, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely. I don't want to, but if I have him, I will. Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is going to make Zay Flowers' game last night look like a walk. I don't know. I lost the thing. I'm so mad at Walker about Chris Olave. Alvin Kamara is going to have a lot of targets and a little bit of yards, and it won't matter because a catch is worth 10 yards.
I mean, according to this, I had I have this thing called FA 2022 prospect information.
Okay.
And that on that one, I had Chris Olave at wide receiver 4. I don't know, but all these ranks are different. I don't think this counts.
Yeah. All right.
That's not. That's clearly not what my final ranks were.
Let's just not talk about how Walker had Jahan Dotson at wide receiver 5.
Did I do that?
Yeah, you did do that.
Well, that's too bad.
You'd like to be right the first season, but
yeah, that's true. He had a bunch of touchdowns.
Also, this reminded me of Corey Sutton, who was big and bad at football.
Yeah, you liked him a lot.
Yeah, it's because he reminded me of Chase Claypool, who was also big and bad at football.
Oh, that's fair.
All right, so let's go back to talking about 2024 real quick after Walker attacked my my very core, we'll say. By suggesting that I was down on Chris Olave. When I was. All right. Also, if you remember, when you get to that point, after he gets drafted, I came around very highly on Chris Olave when he ended up in New Orleans. So it's called fence sitting, Walker. You should try it. Don't start Juwan Johnson. Don't do it. It's not a good idea. Don't get cute and start Rashid Shaheed. I would like to see how Rashid Shaheed is used before I start him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Shaheed's a good guy to stash on your bench for a little bit.
Yeah, Nixon just dropped a pick 6, by the way.
For Green Bay?
Yeah.
I guess it's even, though.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a really dumb call by Jalen Hurts. All right, that's it. I got Carolina winning this one.
Yeah, me too.
Mike says no.
I have someone winning.
Mike has New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Nolens. All right. Let's talk Vikings-Giants very quickly. Vikings 7-10. Giants were 6-11 last year. Giants 1-point favorites in this game. 41.5-point over-under. Neither team has a single player on the injury report, which is incredible. All right. Jalen Hurts did not get away with that interception. So my question for this game is, and I think it's a very important question for Justin Jefferson, for TJ Hockenson when he comes back, for Jordan Addison. Does Sam Arnold look like fried ass?
Fried ass.
Because he's not a good quarterback, folks, and he is the quarterback they will have for right now. They will eventually start Nick Mullins.
I think he'll look pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he will look good. So you're starting Justin Jefferson. You're not starting Sam Darnold. Walker already said their piece about Jordan Addison. I don't think you should start Jordan Addison this week. Mike, do you concur?
Not with Sam Darnold as the quarterback.
Hell yeah. Aaron Jones is all right. Aaron Jones was in the class quarterback or running back that I was not drafting. Walker has him, I'm going to guess, 16th.
Who was that?
Aaron Jones.
23rd.
Ooh. All right. So quarterback, running back 2. We're not too high on this Vikings offense, we'll say.
No, so, I would start Justin Jefferson.
I've heard of him.
Maybe Aaron Jones.
Sounds about right.
Okay. How long before both these teams are going to be blank spaces?
I think probably
4 weeks.
I was going to say week 3 for the Vikings until they turn to Nick Mullins, and 3 weeks for the Giants.
I was half expecting Jeff to make this a free space game.
All right, free space game. In week 1. Well, I think that Devin Singletary is a question right now. Like, I think Devin Singletary and Aaron Jones are both questions.
I think that I have them back to back.
All right, sounds good. Which one's higher?
Jones.
Okay. Walker, your question about the Giants.
Can anyone other than Malik Nabers make any plays?
No, he's a wide receiver 3 this week.
I have him as a low end wide receiver 2, but yeah.
Okay. Mike.
Yeah, I think you play him.
How are you feeling about Malik Nabers?
Not liking it with Daniel Jones as quarterback. Plus we don't really know much about him. He could just be a total bust. So yeah, college talent, great. Being on the Giants with Daniel Jones and really, you know, can he express that talent in the pros? Don't know yet. So I'm staying away until information provides me a reason to start this guy.
All right. Sounds good. So Mike, a little bit more cautious about Malik Nabers. Walker, all in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Like, if you drafted him, I think you're playing him.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, I drafted him in a position where I was like, well, I'm going to play him. So we're just going to see where this goes. All right. So closest to a free space we're going to get in week one. We're off to the 1 o'clock games. And we need to hurry up. Raiders, Chargers. Free spot game?
Yeah, sure.
Free spot game. All right. Raiders were 8-9 last season. Chargers were 5-12. Chargers 3-point favorites. 41.5-point over under. For the Chargers, we've got DJ Chark out, Walker's boy, Asante Samuel Jr., and Tarheeb Still. Hell of a name. Star Wars ass name right there. Questionable. For the Raiders, Jackson Powers.
we got Glup Shitto. He's out.
Glup Shitto. He's out. Jackson Powers Johnson has an illness. His tummy hurts. Malcolm Kuntz, a knee injury. He is out. I always struggle with his name. DeCamrion. Yeah. Richardson. My mouth just cannot get around that. DeCamrion Richardson out with a hamstring injury. Tommy Eichenberg, questionable. Free space game. You're starting Devontae Adams. Maybe Zamir White. Brock Bowers?
Yes.
And that's it for the Raiders. Mike?
Oh, I say no to Brock Bowers.
Mike, Mr. Conservative with rookies.
Yeah, it's conservative with the rookies and the fact that is this going to be 12 personnel again? You know, does that limit Brock Bowers? So
Mike is of the opinion that Michael Mayer is going to play enough that it's going to make Brock Bowers annoying.
Exactly.
Michael Mayer is good.
I don't know if he is. I think Michael Mayer might be mid.
Ooh.
And Brock Bowers is really good.
Michael Mayer, the Pat Freiermuth of the Raiders?
He might not even be that good. You never know.
Ooh. Yowza. Damn.
Freiermuth was probably a better prospect coming out, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair, dog. All right, free space. Chargers. Nobody.
Yeah, I'm not playing Herbert. I'm not playing any of the running. No, I'm not playing anybody. No.
McConkey's a wait and see. Gus Edwards is a, well.
Whatever. I mean, I have J.K. Dobbins ranked as the highest running back because he is healthy right now. But I don't think any of those guys are going to get like a lion's share of the touches. I think they're just going to rotate. I think they're going to have like 30 carries and it's going to be like 13 for Dobbins, 13 for Edwards, and 4 for Kamani Vidal or some shit.
Woo! All right, Mike, do you concur with no Chargers should be started this week?
Yeah, until we see otherwise. I don't see how any of them can be starters.
Yeah, everything is... I think it's going to be a mess there all year long. All right, speaking of messes, the Broncos. All right, Broncos 8-9 last year. Seahawks 9-8. Seahawks... 6-point favorites, 42-point over under. Whoever wins has to have Russell Wilson in their ring of honor. All right. Uchenna Nwosu is out for the Seahawks. Farrell Brown out as well. Tyler Lockett is questionable. The Broncos have nobody on the injury report because they have nobody of value on that team. Walker, your question is about Cortland Sutton.
Can Cortland Sutton produce with a conservative quarterback such as Bo Nix?
I do not think so.
Yeah,
I think his best trait is that he can get up and get it.
And Bo Nix doesn't like to throw those.
No, I think it's going to be they threw the most targets in the league to running backs last year. I think it's going to be a lot more of the same.
Yeah, I think if there's a guy who, you know, and Jeff, you wrote about him in the Sleepers article. I don't know how good he is, but if there's a guy who's going to get a shitload of dump offs all season and have a JD McKissick ass running back 22 season, it's probably Jaleel McLaughlin.
They're calling him a young Theo Riddick.
He's a pretty good pass catcher. He's fast, shifty. He's built kind of like a fire plug, so he's got a little meat on his bones. He's just really small, and he can't run between the tackles at all. So he's pigeonholed, but he is good in that role, and Nix loves to do that stuff. So, yeah, I think McLaughlin might be a guy who I met, you know, after injuries ravaged some of these running backs, like by week six, all of a sudden he's like RB 25 every week.
Yeah. And just to be, and I just want to talk about Jaleel McLaughlin a little bit. Walker hit the nail on the head. If something happens to Javonte Williams, he will not be able to handle a different role.
No, he might be Audric Estime then.
Yeah. There might be more of him there, but it's going to be one of those situations where, you know, like maybe Estime gets hurt and then Javonte Williams gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, Jaleel McLaughlin is getting like, he's going to get 12 carries at like 3.1 yards per carry. It's right. Like not going to be good. So, yeah. And right this week, I would not start Courtland Sutton. I think Javonte Williams is a flex. Everything else is wait and see. I do not have faith in Bone Icks.
No, me neither.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, there's no reason to have faith in Bo Nix. I mean, he can run a little bit, but he's not going to put up like 25 rushing yards or 30 rushing yards. So we don't even know if he's going to be any good at all. And is he going to target someone like Courtland Sutton? I don't think so. I think he's going to be more. I think Greg Dulcich might get more targets than Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, watch, more like Greg Great-Sitch.
Watch the Greg Exciting-Sitch.
Yeah.
Watch the leading target getter on the Broncos this year be Josh Reynolds.
Oh, God. It could be.
100 target Josh Reynolds season.
Oh, God. That'll be my new example instead of Jeremy Curley getting 100 targets with the Niners.
Yeah, yeah. Josh Reynolds has like 66 for 780 and 4 touchdowns.
That is disgusting. Ugh. All right. Speaking of disgusting, how the Seahawks used JSN last year.
That's right.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Ryan Grubb. Gross name, but good OC.
He's getting his grubby little paws all over JSN. Baby.
Yeah. Well, we get them all over JSN.
He's going to grease them right up. They won't be able to tackle him.
But not his hands. He's going to grease them. No. Scalp. He's not going to grease his gloves.
Just the legs.
Yeah, just the legs and the torso. He can grease the torso, too. But will he use JSN well, or are we in trouble? I talked all offseason about, I'm not going to belabor the point because it was last year, but there was they used JSN very stupidly. And that's why I worry about Keenan Allen, who I think will play the slot in Chicago. But JSN, good football player. How they use him last year, bad. He wasn't good. They used him poorly and he didn't produce well in that situation. So I want to know, as a JSN bag holder in several dynasty leagues, am I going to be making a loud gulp noise after this one? Because I might be in trouble.
You're going to be going and convincing yourself for another week, because I think he's like a mid-tier to low-end flex. I think he'll probably have like 5 for 60.
Your preview of me on Tuesday. Well, he did have 7 targets, so that is something to build on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think he's gonna be bad, and I do think he's going to take over as the number 2 receiver from Tyler Lockett. I think it's going to be very reminiscent to how it worked at Washington, where Metcalf is the alpha Odunze, you know, copy, and then you've got Smith and Jigba as the dynamic slot guy a la Jalen McMillan. And Jalen Polk was super productive when McMillan was hurt, but when McMillan came back, he slid into that third spot, and I think that's where Lockett ends up.
I feel like Polk Lockett is like the most like one-to-one in terms of like late career Tyler Lockett and what we saw from Polk in college in terms of like their roles in this offense. Like it was very much like, oh, okay. That you just watched like 5 or 6 plays, you're like, okay, that guy's Tyler Lockett. Like when you saw a grub coming to Seattle. So all right, starters. Mike, I'll start with you. How many Seahawks wide receivers are we starting this week?
Against the Broncos defense, I would say 1.
DK?
Yeah.
Walker, how many are you starting this week?
Yeah, I would say in most leagues, 1. Yeah.
DK?
Yeah.
I agree, even though I am forced to start JSN in some leagues because I overdrafted him last year. So let's go. I'm going to say one, and I'm not taking my own advice. Kenneth Walker?
Must start.
Mike?
Bad defense up the middle.
Stinky poo-poo defense.
Yeah, I like Kenneth Walker, especially as a RB2 range.
Oh, by the way, I forgot
I have him. Go ahead.
It's not important. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have him RB10 this week.
Ooh. Let's go.
What I was going to say is I would just like to, I forgot. Can we rewind and start from the top talking about the Chiefs game? So I can repeat my more like Samaje pee-pee-poo-poo Ryan tweet from last night.
That was, yeah, very important that we get that in there.
Yes. All right. I told you it wasn't important. All right. Geno Smith, Walker has him, what did you say?
12.
Okay. So Walker would start Geno Smith.
Good streamer.
Yeah, good streamer for Walker. I think I had him as a good, was he in the Sleepers article?
Yeah, I think so.
I wrote it on like Monday, which I don't normally do. I usually write it on Thursdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Here's the thing. I drafted Dak Prescott in my 14-team home league, and Geno Smith went undrafted. I picked him up off waivers when Deontay Foreman got cut. I know he's been signed back, but I exchanged that, and I'm starting Geno Smith this week, week one, over Dak Prescott.
Ooh. That's the other clip. We're going to say Derrick Henry or Najee Harris better than Derrick Henry. And I am starting Geno Smith over Dak Prescott, .. every week.
No.
I just said that every week so I can clip it.
Don't do that. No.
All right. And that's it for this game. We all picked Seattle.
That's correct.
Cowboys, Browns. No, thank you. Cowboys 12-5 last year. Browns 11-6 last year. Cleveland 2.5-point favorites. 42-point over under. Just the worst vibes imaginable for a game. I don't like this at all. John Stevens Jr. out for the Cowboys. He's a tight end, if you don't know who that is. Jedrick Wills is out. Jack Conklin is questionable. Those are left and right tackles. Is that important?
Yes.
Is that important if you want to see Deshaun Watson get the shit kicked out of him for being a bad person?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, with a very important... I didn't read Mike's question before. Mike, what's your question?
So, is this running game going to be as shitty as it looks?
Yes!
Yeah, especially in this game.
Yeah, dude, this is going to be like a...
They're going to suck real bad at running it.
It's going to be like 22 combined carries for like 60 yards.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Sounds about right to me.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be bad. This is going to be awful.
And yeah, I mean, I am an Ezekiel Elliott defender this year, and I have him ranked 36 this week. I don't do that.
Damn.
Yeah. Don't. Please don't. Yeah, because let me clue everybody in on something. If you're sitting there and trying to talk yourself into Rico Dowdle, you've already lost. You've already lost. And there are people out there trying to talk themselves into Rico Dowdle. You don't need to do that.
No, running Rico back Dowdle room. Stinks.
Running back room, by the way. Zeke, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, Dalvin Cook on the practice squad with Kelvin Harmon. He can keep his ass there. Malik Davis on the practice squad.
And don't they have Hunter Lupke?
I think they...
Is that the fullback, halfback, hybrid type guy?
Yeah, fullback, yeah. He's listed as fullback on the depth chart. Okay, it's a bad running back room, folks. You know what's also bad? The wide receiver room behind CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks.
Oh, yeah. Really, really bad. I mean, their third best receiver might be Kevontae Turpin.
Or people are trying to talk themselves into Flournoy.
Yeah, because everybody has finally given up on Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah. and then also Jalen Brooks. It's bad. This team's bad. Like, it's very top heavy.
Yes.
Like, if something happens to Dak or CeeDee Lamb, it's going to get bad in a hurry, especially because Trey Lance is bad. And it's either him or Cooper Rush, who's also bad.
They'll go Rush for sure. I mean, Rush won't turn the ball over, at least.
This was like our AOC and Gardner Minshew discussion. But in this case, the Gardner Minshew type is worse.
Sick.
Yeah. So, Mike, how do you feel about this running game this week?
It's shitty.
Okay, good. Good to know. Start nobody in the running game. Start CeeDee Lamb, maybe start Dak Prescott, and that's it.
Jake Ferguson.
Oh, and ASAP Ferg.
Yeah, Ferguson. Dak, I think, is risky because I don't think he's going to throw for multiple touchdowns. Cleveland's defense usually doesn't allow that, especially at home. But I think that Ferguson is going to be targeted heavily. And then, of course, CeeDee Lamb. But yeah, other than that, I think everybody else is too risky.
Okay. Walker, you want to talk about the bad man and the Cleveland weaponry?
Yeah, will his on-field struggles continue? And if they do, how much does that hurt the weapons in terms of fantasy production for Cleveland?
Well, I think that Deshaun Watson, even if he is like better than he was, they will not have at least one tackle, and they might be out two tackles. And Micah Parsons is pretty good at rushing the passer. I don't know if you've heard about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be bad man hitting worse man a lot of times, because Micah Parsons is also a certified bad man. People can't forget this.
Yes, that's true.
Very true.
Yeah. He's also a certified bad man, but people forget this. And it really makes me frustrated because I really like the CJ Stroud show, and it makes me really frustrated that I have to watch Micah Parsons too. So yeah, I think that he will struggle, except for Amari Cooper. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. Amari Cooper is the same guy.
Amari Cooper is going to finish wide receiver 24.
Yeah, he's the same guy. He's going to get you his like baseline, and he'll go somewhere, you know, plus or minus this is going to be like 4 for 65. That's his baseline.
A little more than that.
5 for 65.
5 for 75.
All right. 5 for 70.
5 for 72.
I'll kill you.
I will never. All right. It's going to be bad. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, ideally. Jerome Ford, I guess. You probably need to draft better if you're starting Jerome Ford this week.
That's true. Wide receiver. Running back 32 for me. Cooper's at 27.
And David Njoku.
Tight end 11 for me. Yeah.
That last noise that Walker made is how I feel about David Njoku this season.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got him, you're probably playing him. But I don't know. You're probably going to end up with like 5 catches for 32 yards.
David Njoku or Isaiah Likely?
But Isaiah Likely played.
Yeah, which one would you rather start?
Well, Isaiah Likely had a really good game, so I'd certainly rather retroactively start Isaiah Likely.
Okay, perfect.
That's just the smart call.
That is the smart call. I'll take the guaranteed 26 points or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll lock that in.
Who would? Am I right?
Watch David Njoku come out and have like 4 touchdowns and like 125 yards. Yeah, I don't like this game. I have no desire to see any part of this game.
Somehow we all played Cleveland, so.
Yeah, because the Cleveland defense is the best unit in this whole game.
Yeah, probably. And I think Kevin Stefanski's probably a better coach than Mike McCarthy.
Yes, he's definitely more handsome.
It's true.
All right, we all picked Cleveland. Commanders Buccos, the game with the most letters in it this week. Commanders were 4-13, Buccaneers were 9-8. Tampa Bay 3-point favorites, 44-point over under. Devastating news as backup quarterback Marcus Mariota will not be playing in this game for the Commanders. Jerzon Newton also doubtful, not out, doubtful. For the Buccaneers, Logan Hall is out. Kalijah Kancey is questionable, as is Trey Palmer. My question is, who the hell is the number 2 target in Washington? Is it Ben Sinnott? Is it Austin Eckler? Is it De'Ami Brown? Are they bringing back Jordan Reed? Is it Zach Ertz?
I think the guy who gets the second most targets this week is Zach Ertz. But I don't think that lasts very long.
No, because Ertz is old and just okay.
Right. Ertz can run 6 yards down the field, turn around and catch it, but that's all he can do. You know, he'll end up with like 4 for 25 for a couple of weeks until they realize he can't do anything else. And then they're like, well, why don't we throw the super athletic rookie in there and see if he can do something? And he'll do more than that, at least. You know, I don't know how good Sinnott will be, but it'll be better than ancient Zach Ertz. But yeah, for temporarily, it'll probably either be Eckler or Ertz. And then down the line, it'll be Sinnott, in my opinion.
All right. So the number two target will eventually be Sinnott. Yeah, I think it'll start off with, I think in this game, it, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's got to be Zach Ertz. It's the only thing that like makes sense. Because I can't, it's not really going to be Austin Eckler because rushing quarterbacks don't dump off the ball that much. It's not going to be De'Ami Brown because he sucks. So it's gotta be Zach Ertz. And that's why Zach Ertz.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
No. That's why Zach Ertz is my start of the week. He is my tight end one. No. He is my tight end one this week.
On Washington.
On Washington. And I'm not so certain about that either.
Jeff, Zach Ertz or Kay Dotton?
Zach Ertz.
Wow. Okay.
Aide Cotton, classic turnaround stand there guy.
Plays Zach so Ertz. Many snaps, gets three targets.
I know. Dude is out there blocking his ass off.
That's right.
All right, Mike, you got a question about the, before we get out of there, Jaden Daniels, if you're feeling lucky,
yeah,
roll him out there.
I think he's a decent streamer option, or, you know, he's in that fringe QB1 range with Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott.
Okay. Mike, do you concur?
I concur.
Okay. Nice. I think he might, he's in that fringe spot. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 3. Brian Robinson, flex-ish guy. Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler, see how it goes, I guess. I don't want to start him this week. I want to see how it goes. Mike, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Because
they're going to be butt. Spanked the Eagles in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they did. So will Baker continue to cook? See how I did that Baker?
Yeah. Will Cooker continue to bake?
Yeah. Or did he use up all his ingredients last year? See how I did that? Good thing. Yeah.
I don't get it. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. I think that they did a very bad thing, which was they barely made, like, they were 9-8 last year, barely squeaked into the playoffs. And they decided that they were going to run it all back. And now everybody's a year older. They have Jalen McMillan now. Right.
Who's good. Yes,
he is good. And they have Bucky Irving now. Walker, I don't need your input.
He's fine.
but they're trying to run it back. And I think that that's a recipe for disaster because it feels like as an organization, the Buccaneers are still like we're in that Super Bowl window that Tom Brady gave us. And it's like everybody is several years older. Your quarterback is now Baker Mayfield. And I don't know why you keep trying to run it back. I think they're in trouble. I think they're going to, you know, they're probably going to finish the year like 6-11.
I would say they probably finish like 8-9 in my opinion.
Okay. I just think they're going to take a step back.
I think Baker will be a streamer quarterback this year. I think he's going to live in that QB 16-19 range. And in good matchups, he'll be, a low end QB 1, and in bad matchups, he'll be unplayable.
Yep. That's been kind of like the Baker Mayfield experience for a long time.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. So, alrighty. Who are we starting this week other than Mike Evans?
Chris Godwin. Rashad White. That would be it.
All right. I heard Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving's backup.
Bucky.
Alrighty. That's it for this game, right? We don't need to start Kate Otten. We don't need to be starting anybody.
No.
This is not the week to get cute. So let's talk about, speaking of cute, Rams-Lions? Game of the week?
Sunday Night Football.
Packers Eagles is kind of a game of the week vibes after last night's game. Two good games to start the season. Rams were 10-7 last year. Lions were 12-5. Detroit 3.5 point over under. Detroit 3.5 point favorites. Lions, God bless it, 51 point over under. Folks, it's the longest episode in a long time. I'm losing it. injuries in this one. Rob Havenstein, questionable with an ankle injury for the Rams. For the Lions, Lauren Strickland out with a thumb injury. Melifonwu, whose first name I always fuck up.
Ifatu,
doubtful with an ankle injury. And DJ Reed, questionable with a quad injury. Mike, you want to know about Pupa Napupa?
Yeah, is Pupa going to poop number one, or is this going to be a
poop number one?
Or is it diarrhea? Still, or if it's just, or if it's still poop? Is it Pupa Nakua wide receiver room, or is it Pooper Cups wide receiver room?
Yeah,
who's pooping?
Two girls in a cup.
No.
Hold on, let me Google that real quick. I don't get it.
Wait, what's that?
Oh no.
Jeff, have you ever looked up Blue Waffle?
Oh no. Also, I have Twitter up, you know, for news, and it's MAGA personality Laura Loomer ate dog food on her show last night. Great thing.
Come you did that?
Yeah, why'd you do that, bro? All right. I think that Puka will get the most targets in this room, but I think it'll be close. I think it'll be like those two are going to combine for like 20 targets. Yeah, in any given week. So I think it'll be really depend on what the defense decides to take away, who leads the team in targets in any given week. Like Matthew Stafford has two insanely good options on every down, and he's a smart quarterback. So it's going to be whatever the defense decides to give him on any given week. And I think that that is great for both of them.
Awesome.
And this week, Terry and Arnold locks them both down at the same time, right, Walker?
That's right. We did a good job against Cup last year, so I'm not worried about him. I think Puka is the guy this week. Those guys are going to get a lot of targets. Obviously, Stafford is, as you said, he's a smart quarterback. So, I think my Scott Fishbowl team is going to like having both of them on it.
Ooh, that's smart. Get them both. Get a little Matthew Stafford. Three-way stack. Let's go.
Yeah, I couldn't get any Matthew Stafford, unfortunately.
I tried to get Matthew Stafford, and I got Baker Mayfield instead. So, oh boy.
I got Geno.
Geno. Yeah, I didn't really prioritize quarterback in that league after I got like two pretty good ones, so I didn't worry about my third one. Alrighty. You're starting Kyren Williams, unfortunately. And that's it. Matthew Stafford. What about Matthew?
You can start Matthew Stafford.
Reminder.
I wouldn't, but you can.
Reminder. In the handful of games that Stafford, Cup, Puka, and Kyren Williams all played last year, Matthew Stafford was a top 10 quarterback on those weeks. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. If you want to stash, if you're not sure about your quarterbacks and you have an extra spot, stash Matthew Stafford because he's really, really good. And he has lots of weapons. All right. Let's talk about Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions.
Woo.
Walker.
Will Jameson Williams have over 850 yards this season?
No, Mike.
No, he's not going to have over 850 yards.
He absolutely will.
Absolutely will?
Barring injury.
Okay. No, he's really good. Is this all-purpose yards or receiving yards?
All-purpose. Not return. If he does any of that, I don't think he will, but not return yards, only
okay. So yards from scrimmage. Because I wasn't leaving out the possibility. I was talking about returns because I wasn't leaving out the possibility that Dan Campbell gets some wild hair up his ass.
Yeah, and runs him out there for a kick return or something.
Yeah. I think it. I don't know. There's like Amon-Ra St. Brown takes so many targets. Sam Laporta takes so many targets. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to command more targets this year. But
after that, then the guys behind JMO are like David Montgomery and Tim Patrick.
If Yeah, no, I know that it's like there's not a lot of targets there, like viable targets. It's just I struggle because like those three players are so good. And it's like if Jameson Williams gets over 850 yards, I feel like something with they have to drastically change the way that they want to run the team.
Which I don't think so. That's only 50 yards a game.
Yeah, but I guess so. I guess if I mean when that, you put it that way, when you put it that way, Walker, sure. Can I didn't think of it that way. 50 yards a game, sure. Why not? Let it happen. Will he get it this week? Maybe not. But he doesn't have to. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to get like 3 for 25 some weeks and like 2 for 125 other weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'll have his boom weeks. I mean, I have him at wide receiver 43. I think he's a he's in that Brian Thomas Jr. range. You know how I talked about him as like a boom bust, like wide receiver 3 play in deep leagues? Mm-hmm. Same idea with J-Mo. You could get a boom week, and in a deep league like that, it doesn't hurt you as much if your wide receiver 3 only scores 6 points.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
About him getting 850 yards?
Yeah, but with the caveat that Walker put it in a different way, which is 50 yards a game.
Yeah, will he average 50 yards a game?
No.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
This guy hates Jameson Williams.
They just don't use him that way. Their offense, I mean, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but Jared Goff is more of a short to intermediate passer. That's where their success comes from. And
Jameson Williams is a deep throw. See, this is what people get wrong. People act like Jameson can't catch any ball that is close to the line of scrimmage, which is not true. He can be used as an underneath receiver as well. It's just that on a lot of plays, you use his speed to clear out the defense for St. Brown and LaPorta. But when they need, you know, a short area target, they'll go to J-Mo just as often because he's strong and he can catch through contact. I just think because of the way they approach the wide receiver position tells me that they expect Williams to have a bigger role this season because they allowed Josh Reynolds to leave, you know, and they didn't really replace him with anybody. You know, we've got Allen Robinson and Tim Patrick on the practice squad and a UDFA and Isaiah Williams on the team and Kalie Raymond. I mean, Kalie Raymond's best career season is wide receiver 53. What are we doing here? It's Jameson is going to have to be, you know, at least tangentially involved in the offense, you know, for it to work.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're going with that. But he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to do that every single week. And I trust your outlook just because, you know, you follow this team. This is your team. So I don't really have, you know, a lot to stand on here, but
I don't agree with that. I think that you have just as much leg to stand on.
But I just see it differently. I just don't see him being used to that extent.
Well, I mean, that's fair. Yeah, I think he's certainly one of the more polarizing players in fantasy because we haven't seen that production from him in the past.
Right. And not to say that it won't work out the way you say it won't. I mean, I could definitely see that. There's reasons why players come and go, and I'm sure they want to give him a bigger role. He's that talented and has that speed aspect to, you know, taking those short passes for long gains.
Yeah. Obviously, he's, you know, very explosive, but the consistency is obviously something he needs to work on.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. I'm cutting off Jameson Williams' discussion.
That's right.
You're starting the three guys on Detroit that are all top three at their position. Top five with top three upside, or top two, or top one.
Yeah.
You're starting all three of those guys.
Yeah. Gibbs, St. Brown, and LaPorta are obvious. I think you're starting David Montgomery.
I think so.
I think you're starting Jared Goff.
In a 51 over-under against his old team on Monday Night Football? Or Sunday Night Football? Yeah, you're doing that.
Yep.
All right. We're all Detroit.
Dull Lions, baby.
The Lions. All right, last game of the week. They call it Jeff's return to Levi Stadium. Woo! Guess what? Yeah, I was going to say, guess what happened last time, but bad memories for Walker. Sorry, Walker.
It's Jets. Fine, whatever.
Jets were 7-10 last year. Again, another team. Surprised they were 7-10. They started Zach Wilson for like half the year, and the other half of the year wasn't much better. It was, who was it? Tim Boyle and...
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian, baby. Let's go. Niners were 12-5 last year. They lost the Super Bowl for the third time in the last like 14 years. I'm starting to get sick and tired of it. I'm going to kill somebody.
Jeff, your team has won so many of them.
I only saw one.
I don't care.
Niners 3.5-point favorites, 43.5-point over under. No injury official injury reports yet for this because they don't do that on Friday for Monday Night Football. Walker, your question. The question on everybody's mind about this game, especially about the Jets.
Will Tyler Conklin finally score a touchdown?
Maybe.
I say no.
No, I don't think so.
No, he does not.
I don't think not against this defense.
Not against, poor Tyler Conklin. No touchdowns last year, everybody. 87 targets, no touchdowns.
87 targets for the third consecutive season.
You messed up. My question was going to be, my question for this game is, will Tyler Conklin get exactly 87 targets this
season? You better believe it. It's like when Chris Davis had hit the exact same average four seasons in a row.
It was like 246. Like, it wasn't great.
It wasn't even good,
Oh, man. Ooh, Walker, Jordan Love is down, and he is writhing.
Oh, no. Okay, I don't want that.
Not good. Not good. Not good.
I don't want that.
I don't want him to be hurt, but I don't want him to be hurt. All right. My bad part is taking over. All right. Speaking of people that I want to be hurt, Aaron Rodgers? Oh, my God, Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
I forgot Malik Willis was the backup in Green Bay now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad if Jordan Love's hurt for a long time. Not looking good, folks. Real bad. Don't want to see that. Okay. Sorry. Distracted by the football game going on. For the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. Don't start him, correct?
No. Don't start him.
I'm not.
Not against this defense.
No. Yeah, not against the Niners. No way.
Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson must start, yes?
Yes.
Breece Hall, yeah.
All right, that's all for the Jets. And Tyler Conklin won't score a touchdown. My question for the Niners, does the offense start sluggish with the Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams holdouts? Especially against a good defense in week one. I think that this is a game that they might drop. I want to put on a brave face, but I'm worried they're going to drop this one.
He tore his ACL.
Dr. Mike calling it.
Jordan Love. Well, I saw it pop.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Boy, all right, that's bad.
I have a lot of conflicting feelings about that. Okay.
Ooh, yeah, not good. Okay, let's talk about the Niners. You're starting Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy is like one of those quarterback 10-ish guys.
I wouldn't start him in this game.
Yeah.
The Jets' defense is healthy at this point and very talented.
Yeah, so we won't be doing that. Debo?
I have Debo as a wide receiver too, and Ayuk.
Okay. Mike, what do you think about Debo and Ayuk?
Debo and Ayuk. Debo's fine. Ayuk, not so much. I just, that long holdout is going to be, something that will affect him, at least for the first few weeks. But I'm not so worried about Trent Williams.
Williams, I mean, that guy could, he's Trent Williams. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the best left tackle in the NFL.
Right.
And, by the way, thank you. Thank you, Washington.
Yeah, no kidding. They just gave him to you guys. I don't think it will be sluggish per se, but it's going to be, they're definitely going to miss Ayuk's production.
Yeah, so I agree. I think it's going to be a little bit messy. It's going to be a little bit up and down. George Kittle, quite weirdly, 1,000 yards last year. Did not think that. And Malik Willis just got sacked to end the game. George Kittle, I mean, if you drafted him, you're starting him.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
100 P.
All right, and that's it. By the way, a third and a fifth round pick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, Washington, for Trent Williams. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I truly believe, I truly mean it. Thank you, Washington. I was in
Fuck
a panic.
You, Washington.
I was in a panic about what they were going to do at left tackle, because that's the same year that Joe Staley retired. And yeah. Then I was like, oh, how did we manage to upgrade from Joe Staley? Thank you.
Yeah, we went from having the fourth best left tackle in the league to the first or second best left tackle in the league.
All right. So that's it. We're calling it for this episode. We will be back on Tuesday to recap all of these games. We'll do some more yapping. We'll find out if Dr. Mike was correct about Jordan Love.
Yeah, we'll find out. It looked like it. But
it didn't look good. It certainly didn't look good. Yeah. Jordan Love not standing up still. So not good. So, all right. Breaking news at the end of this podcast, which which will be at least 2 hours old by the time you hear this. So thanks for listening, everybody. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.